Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
One of my listeners asked me to talk about social media and how social media is used to scam individuals who are involved with that. I don't know anything about social media, of course, but I do know about the practice of scamming the public because I was often involved in it myself. Of course, it could be argued I was doing an honest endeavor, but that certainly stretches the truth. I'm going to talk about a man named Frank Fuller. Now, Frank Fuller was a genius, and he was able to take something worth nothing and create a fortune with it, something that is always done today, I understand, through social media. I'd like to give you an example of how Frank Fuller worked his magic for me. He was in full storm of one of his enthusiastic ideas. He had one enthusiasm per day, and it was always a storm. He said, "I must take the biggest hall in New York and deliver that lecture of mine on the Sandwich Islands." He said that people would be wild to hear me. There was something catching about that man's prodigious energy. For a moment, he almost convinced me that New York was wild to hear me. I knew better. I was well aware that New York had never heard of me, was not expecting to hear of me, and didn't want to hear of me. Yet that man almost persuaded me. I protested. As soon as the fire which we had kindled in me had cooled a little, and I went on protesting. It did no good. Fuller was sure that I should make fame and fortune right away without any trouble. He said, "Leave it to him. Just leave everything to him." He said, "Go to the hotel, sit down, be comfortable. He would lay fame and fortune at my feet within 10 days. I was helpless. I was persuadable, but I didn't lose all my mind. And I begged him to take a very small hall and reduce the rates to sideshow prices. No, he would not hear of it. Said he would rent the biggest hall in New York City for my speech. He would have the basement hall in the Cooper Institute, which seated 3,000 people, and there was room for half as many more to stand up. And he said he would fill that place so full at $1 a head that those people would smother, and he could charge $2 a piece to let them out. He was all on fire with this project. He went ahead with it. He said it shouldn't cost me anything. I said there would be no profit. He said, "Leave that alone. If there is no profit, that is my affair. If there is profit, it is yours. If it is loss, I stand the loss myself, and you will never hear of it." He hired Cooper Institute, and he began to advertise this lecture in the usual way, a small paragraph in the advertising columns of the newspapers. When this had continued about 3 days, I had not yet heard anybody or any newspaper say anything about my lecture, and I got nervous. Oh, he said, it's working around underneath. You don't see it on the surface, he said. Let it alone. Let it work. Very well. I allowed it to work until about the sixth or seventh day. The lecture would be due in 3 or 4 days more. Still, I was not able to get down underneath where it was working. And so I was filled with doubt and distress. I went to Fuller and said he must advertise more energetically. He said he would. So he got a barrel of little things printed out that he could hang on a string, 50 in a bunch. They were for the omnibuses. You could see them swinging and dangling around in every omnibus in New York City. My anxiety forced me to travel on the omnibus. I did nothing for 1 or 2 days but sit in buses and travel from one end of New York to the other and watch those advertisements dangle and wait to catch somebody pulling one loose to read it. It never happened. Well, it did happen once. A man reached out and pulled one of those ads loose and said to his friend, "Lecture on the Sandwich Islands by Mark Twain." "Who could that be, I wonder?" And he threw it away and changed the subject. I was devastated and depressed. I couldn't travel in the buses anymore. I was sick. I went to Fuller and said, "Fuller, there is not going to be anyone in Cooper Institute that night but you and me. It will be a dead loss, for we shall both have free tickets. Something must be done. I am on the verge of suicide." "I would commit suicide if I had the pluck and the outfit," I said. "You must paper the house, Fuller. You must issue thousands of complimentary tickets. You must do this. I shall die if I have to go before an empty house that is not acquainted with me and that has never heard of me and that has never traveled in the bus and seen those papers dangling." "Well," he said with his customary enthusiasm, "I'll attend to it. It shall be done. I will paper that house, and when you step on the platform, you shall find yourself in the presence of the choicest audience, the most intelligent audience that ever a man stood before in this world." He was as good as his word. This is what he did. This was his strategy. He sent whole baskets full of complimentary tickets to every public school teacher within a radius of 30 miles of New York. He deluged those people with complimentary tickets, and on the appointed night, they all came. There wasn't room in Cooper Institute for a third of them. The lecture was to begin at 7:30. I was so anxious that I had to go to that place at 7. I couldn't keep away. I wanted to keep that vast, vacant, mammoth cave and die. But when I got near the building, I found that all the streets for 1/4 mile were blocked with people and traffic was stopped. I couldn't believe that those people were trying to get into Cooper Institute, and yet that was where they were going. I found my way around the back of the building and got in there by the stage door. And sure enough, the seats, the aisles, the great stage itself was packed with bright-looking human beings raked in from the centers of intelligence, the schools. I had a great deal of difficulty to shoulder my way through the mass of people onto the stage, and when I had managed it and stood before the audience, the stage was full. there wasn't room enough left for a child. I was happy, and I was excited beyond expression. I poured the Sandwich Islands out on those people with a free hand, and they laughed and shouted to my entire content. For an hour and 15 minutes, I was in paradise. From every pore, I exuded a divine delight. And when we came to count up, we had $35 in the house. $35 collected from over 3,000 people. Fuller was just as jubilant over it as if it had furnished the fame and the fortune of his prophecy. He was perfectly delighted. He couldn't keep his mouth shut for several days. "Oh," he said, "the fortune didn't come in. That didn't come in. That's all right. That's coming in later. The fame is already here, Mark. Why, in a week, you'll be the best known man in the United States." "This is no failure," he told me. "This is a prodigious success." That episode must have cost him $400 or $500, but he never complained about it. He was as happy, as satisfied, as proud, as delighted, as if he had laid the fabled golden egg and hatched it. He was right about the fame. I certainly did get a working quantity of fame out of that lecture. The New York newspapers praised it. The country newspapers copied those praises. I was now on the lecture circuit. I went west, lectured every night for 6 to 8 weeks at $100 a night. And I now considered that the whole of the prophecy was fulfilled. I had acquired fame and also a fortune. I don't believe all these details are correct, but they are correct as far as I can remember them. They will do just as well as facts. What I mean to say is that I don't know whether I made that lecturing excursion in that year or whether it was the following year, but it doesn't matter. But the main thing is that I made it, and that the opportunity to make it was created by that wild genius, Frank Fuller, and his insane and immortal project. So you see, in the days long before social media, there were ways to dupe the public, and Frank Fuller did it with a zeal. Thank you.